You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 a.m. here on this Thursday, February 15th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. Joining us once again is Angie Peltier, the UMN regional educator. And, well, Angie, it's a busy time of year for you.
It is, Tyler. I kind of feel it's nice to be back in Crookston, I'll tell you that much. It's almost the time of year where I might be able to breathe a little bit. Yes, this is winter meeting season, in the off season when farmers are usually hauling grain and pushing snow around in a typical year, which we haven't had a lot of that to do. They're also taking in, you know, various learning opportunities. And so just like they learn something in each field, at least one thing, I'm sure many things, each year that they farm each of their fields, they want to see what other people and what the research has to say regarding, you know, up-and-coming management practices, some of the diseases and insects and weed pests that we have out in our field, how best to manage those. And so it's their time to absorb all of that information, synthesize it, and come up with a plan for how best to tackle a 2024 growing season.
And a good way to maybe bounce some ideas off other farmers, learn from other people. I know we've talked about in previous Valley Talks where you guys have had different speakers come in from all around the Midwest and the country to speak about different things in the farming world. So it's a really good learning opportunity here during the winter months.
You bet. And one of my favorites, and actually we had a gentleman come up afterwards and asked us who organized this event, and it, you know, best of the best is what I'm talking about. So it's shortened to best of the best, but it's best of the best in soybean and wheat research, and it's a one-day conference program held each year at the Laris Center in Grand Forks, and then the next day usually at the Courtyard Inn by Marriott in Moorhead. And so that that tends to be a lot of people's favorite meeting to go to, because we sort of handle it differently. So a lot of these conferences that people attend or workshops, you know, we might have panel discussions, we might have individual presenters where a person might be presenting information. We often call this death by PowerPoint, where, you know, there's a person in the front of the room, there's slides that are projected on a wall or on a big screen, and then a person talks while they're presenting the slides. But what's neat about the best of the best conference is that midday, everybody breaks. So between 11 and 2, we have an extended lunch hour, and people can go rotate through hands-on sessions. So it's sort of a show and tell session. And so this time, there were four hands-on sessions. One was all about how soil salinity impacts wheat and soybean seedlings. Another was talking about pigweed, so water hemp, Palmer amaranth, red root pigweed, Powell amaranth, identification of the seedlings. Because in order to manage weeds, you need to be able to identify them when they're still relatively small seedlings, because applying a herbicide at that point in time is much more likely to provide a good level of control than when a seedling is a lot larger. We also had my session, which was all about roots and what's happening underneath the soil. And then the last session was about insect ID. So for my session, I had been growing, so my office mates for the last 3 weeks were what I call these root reveal boxes. And so picture in your mind's eye a box that's about 2 feet wide, 3 inches deep, and then about 2 feet where roots could grow down. So it's just a giant planter. It's made out of PVC building material, so it's lighter weight. It won't rot. And in there, I put soil from our own house and planted some seedlings in there, or some seeds. So what I was trying to show people is what a cover crop plant is doing. So we typically see what's happening above ground. That's very easy to see. But it's hard. Even if you tried to dig down to see what's going on below ground, you're going to be disturbing the roots. And so the neat thing about these boxes is there's a panel where you can remove some of that PVC building material to reveal a plexiglass wall. And so you can actually see all of the roots in there. So people were happy to see green plants. It's been so brown, you know, usually it's white out, but it's been so brown and kind of crummy out. And so people were very happy to see the roots. And we talked about what those roots are doing for us in our cropping system. So the more diverse our cropping system, and when you add a cover crop species, that's diversifying your cropping system, the more diverse the microbes it can support. So the reason why we want a diversity when it comes to the fungi and bacteria that live in the soil, we want to be able to feed them because they are providing services for our plants. So it's a two-way street. So we often hear the word symbiosis. All that means is living together. So with our roots, living together with them are these bacteria and fungi. And the roots are actually exuding into the soil sugars, so simple carbohydrates, feeding those bacteria and fungi. And then the bacteria and fungi are taking some of the elements in our fields that aren't in a form that plants can use. So nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus, and they're converting it into a plant available form. And they're feeding it essentially to the roots. And so it's one hand washing another. The bacteria are getting food, and then they are unlocking some of the nitrogen and sulfur. And the fungi that are in the soil are really neat in that they form these really long strands, and they can explore much more of the soil than our roots can on their own. And phosphorus is one of the macro elements that our plants need. So they need it in relatively high quantity in order to be able to grow, function, and eventually yield for us. And so those long filaments are taking phosphorus molecules that are adsorbed to soil particles, and they're making it into a form that they can themselves pick up. And then through that long, thin filament, think of it as a fire hose or a conveyor belt, they're bringing it back towards the plant and dropping it off right there where the plant can take it up. And so it's a really neat system. And so when we don't have a diverse cropping system, our fields aren't able to, we're not able to realize the full potential as far as ability to support plant life in our fields.
All very interesting.
Yeah. And they grew, you know, it's crazy. They grew 2 feet, these roots, to the bottom of these containers in 20 days.
That's really impressive.
And I, well, the thing is, and I had to explain to people, you know, think about when we would plant a cover crop, unless a person, you know, flew it on or actually went in and interseeded into the standing crop, cash crop, they'd plant it after the cash crop has been harvested. And so that would be, you know, late summer, early fall. And so the conditions that were in my office were ideal for those cover crops. So that's why they could grow 2 feet down the roots in no time flat. Everybody's results are going to vary considerably from that, but they can still do a job for us. And there's something that I know a lot more people are at least have an interest in, if not a willingness to try it themselves. And so when we talk soil health, we are, and I know you mentioned that you spoke with Morgan Torkelson from the West Polk Soil and Water Conservation District, and he was talking about these soil health farmer panel discussions that are going to be held and have been held. So the next one is going to be next week, Tuesday, February 20th, and the topic is strip till and local research projects. So there's going to be farmers involved, because oftentimes a person might want to experiment, but they don't want to jump in with both feet, or they want somebody that has similar equipment to what they have. They want somebody with some experience that they can ask questions of. And so that's what's really nice with these farmer panel discussions. Yes, we can present along with it our data that we've collected through research, but some of the you know, anecdotal information is incredibly useful as well. So they can share, well, you know, it worked so well this year because I was able to get in at this time, or this particular field had this characteristic. So it's just things that wouldn't come up unless a person were either asked the question or on a panel like this. And so it's basically also these panel discussions are identifying those that are early adopters and those that are experts now in adding conservation practices to their crop, into their cropping system. And so it's kind of a unique opportunity. It's going to be held at Bead Ballroom from 2 to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, February 20th. And we'd ask that you please RSVP, either call 218-281-6070 or call or text 309-299-1993. We just want to make sure that we have enough cookies and coffee for everybody. We don't want to have a run on the cookie table, so want to make sure everybody's well taken care of. So,
yeah, and so that'll be coming up quickly next week.
Yes, exactly.
And that's one of the three different discussions that have taken place. One of them took place last month. One of them will take place next month. And then the other one just in a couple of days.
Right. Yes. And the one next month, I'm hoping that those root reveal boxes, so they're sitting in my garage right now, the one attached to my house. So I'm hoping that we can keep them alive for the time being, so that we can show people what's going on below ground still.
All right, so that's going to be the some of the soil health farmer panel discussion. Again, that'll be taking place on Tuesday the 20th, and there's going to be an important event coming up tomorrow, a training event.
Yes, so for those that aren't aware, in order to apply a restricted use pesticide, EPA, so our U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, has basically given authority to our Minnesota Department of Agriculture to license people in order to be able to apply those pesticides. They're restricted use because they tend to be either a little bit more harmful when it comes to human health or environmental health. And so people need to obtain a certification and license. So the first time they have to take a test. But one of the options to get recertified every 3 years is to attend one of these recertification workshops. And so each year we hold a handful of workshops up in the northwestern part of the state here. And tomorrow is the last opportunity to attend one of these workshops. Now, there are other opportunities to get recertified. You can take a paper test. You can take it home, take the test, send it in. You can take a test online. There's an upcoming Zoom workshop. But those are some options. Some people, though, a lot of people, like to attend these workshops. It's 3 hours of your time. And what's nice is you will not only learn about, you know, how to be safe, but we'll talk about some of the hot topics like herbicide resistance, for example, and how to stop that shift from continuing to happen. So tomorrow's workshop will take place starting at 9 a.m. sharp. Registration opens around 8:15, 8:30 at the Northland Technical College up in Thief River Falls. So it will be in the auditorium, so don't park on the western side of the building. Park to the south of the building and enter one of the doors there and find the auditorium. It's a good workshop. We take up 3 hours of your time, but everybody that's attended has learned something of use to them. There's tons of handouts. You can take a bunch of handouts with you. I'm on my way after this to go buy donuts, so you can have donuts and coffee and camaraderie with your fellow crop producers as well.
Feels like that's been a theme here this winter, is being able to talk with other people, not just specifically, you know, the producers, but just all types of people in the farm industry during this off season.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes. You learn so much just by talking to people. It's the quietest people that are doing some of the neatest things on their own farms. And so it's, where else can you talk to them? By seeing them at a meeting. So it's great.
Well, are there anything else that you'd like to talk about here on our Valley Talk program before we wind things up?
No, what a weather whiplash, though, huh?
Yeah.
Last week, I was so thankful carrying those root boxes around that it was 45. And so most of the time, it's below zero, and I'm sitting here trying to keep the plants alive. But, you know, I don't know. My blood isn't thick enough this year, I don't think, to deal with these cold temperatures. But be well, folks, and I hope to see you sometime soon.
Yeah, you'll be all over the place, all kinds of different events as it's getting close to, you know, the springtime rolling around here. I can't believe that we're saying that already.
I know it. It's going to be here before we know it.
Well, Angie, thank you very much for joining us on today's Valley Talk program, and we look forward to another chat down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tyler.
So that was Angie Peltier, the